as a CFP professional, you'll know at least what you're getting, right? There's a baseline education and a baseline understanding of finances.
Yeah.
Becoming a millionaire isn't just about growing your money. It's also about protecting and preserving your wealth by using the right financial strategies for your situation. Welcome. This is Middle Class Millionaire with John Choi. John has his Master's of Science in Financial Services and is a certified financial planner and the president of Epiphany Capital.
Welcome into the podcast. It's another edition of Middle Class Millionaire with John Choi and myself here to talk investing, finance, retirement, and a little alphabet soup is on the docket today. We're going to talk about the letters you see behind an advisor's name. There's dozens of these things out there, letters, designations, you know, that you might see. So I want John to kind of break it down a little bit and kind of get into some of this for us. So that's what we're going to tackle today. And if you've got some questions or need some help, reach out to John at johnchoi.net. It's johnchoi.net, C-H-O-I. And he is a certified financial planner and the president at Epiphany Capital. He's a CFP, so we're going to talk about what some of those mean. John, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
Good. How are you? I'm just I was enjoying the weather this weekend. It was in the high 70s, low 80s.
Yeah.
And now it this morning on Monday it snowed. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You can have it.
So welcome to Chicago.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah, I lived there many, many years ago, so I remember, and I'm good. I'm good where I'm at. But hey, listen, break these things down for me, will you, this week, and try to help some folks out. I know you want to kind of go through these a little bit and help us understand some of the differences. So let's just discuss the difference between a designation, I guess, and a degree. Because, you know, you don't actually have to, well, at least once upon a time, you didn't have to have a financial degree to be a financial advisor. I don't know if that's still the case or not, but I'm going to let you kind of break it down for us.
You know, interestingly enough, and I'll hit that a little bit later, you do not need a designation. You don't need a degree. You just need to pass some tests.
The licenses test, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And those are pretty elementary, I think. But yeah, there's I remember back 30 some odd years ago, we studied for a week, passed my Series 7, and it was done. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot of... It's not that intense. It doesn't require a whole huge level of education. So let me just talk right now about the difference between a designation and a degree.
Okay.
And so you'll see in a person's name, it'll say John Choi, comma, whatever, right? So PhD is a degree. MBA is a degree. The MSFS, which stands for the Master of Science in Financial Services or Financial Planning now, they kind of rebranded it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the JD, which of course is an attorney. So
okay.
These degrees are, you're going to get them from a school, right? You're going to get them from an institution. There's going to be years of classroom study, finals after every class. And depending on how many classes you're taking, there's going to be a test after each one, right?
So, right, right.
So you're gonna see those are the degrees, and I have some ones that I lean toward and ones I'm not, you know, so hot on as a financial advisor, right? For a degree,
right?
And
right.
Again, I'll discuss that in just a minute.
Okay.
Now the designations are going to be ones that are conferred upon you by different organizations, and probably the one that is the most well known is the CFP designation or the Certified Financial Planner designation. And that's conferred upon by the board at the Certified Financial Planning Board. So that is probably, and again, I'm biased. I say that off the bat because I am a certified financial planner.
But right.
That is probably going to be the most relevant and the most comprehensive of all the designations that you'll see out there. It really is the gold standard for the designations.
Okay, right. Yeah, we see that one a lot, right? CFP. And they had that kind of funny commercial a couple of years back where they had that DJ. Do you remember this commercial, John, where they had a DJ and they cleaned him all up. They cut off his dreads and whatnot, put him in a suit, and they were like, you know, make sure you get an actual CFP because it's easy to fall for anyone. Anyone can clean up their act and something like that, right? It's a pretty interesting commercial.
Yeah.
So
yeah. No, they've won the marketing war in terms of the designations for sure.
Yeah.
And Let me just speak to people who don't have any designations. They're not uneducated. In fact, one of the smartest people that I've known in the business, I don't think he's a certified financial planner. I don't know if he's got any designations or degree. It was just, he's just so smart because he's been in the business 40 years. But without the designations, you don't know if you're going to get him or you're going to get that DJ rock star, right? You just don't know.
Right.
It's like when I hire a plumber, an electrician, if they're not licensed, they can be really, really good or they can be really, really bad.
Right.
You just don't know.
Yeah. Cousin and Eddie or an absolute rock star. Yeah.
Right. Right. And so I think as a CFP professional, you'll know at least what you're getting, right? There's a baseline education and a baseline understanding of finances.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that should, it does, and it should give people some comfort, a level of comfort to know what they're getting. Now, the other designation that's most similar to the CFP designation is the CHFC, the Chartered Financial Consultant. I believe that's what it is. And that has almost the same coursework as the CFP. But there's one huge difference between the two, and that is they don't have an exam that you have to pass. You just have to pass the coursework.
Mm, okay.
The CFP, in order to become a CFP professional, you have to go through the coursework, and there's final exams after each course, so on and so forth. There's six courses. There's the foundational course. Then there's investments, insurance, taxes, retirement, and estate planning. And then now they've added the capstone one, which is kind of the comprehensive class. So you go through seven classes, you take final exams in all of them, then you pass those, and then you have to take a 6-hour, 170 question test that you have to pass for you to become a certified financial planner.
Wow. Now, 6 hours.
6 hours. Yeah. They break it down, you know, they give you a lunch break in between, but
well, that's nice of them.
Yeah, they let you eat. And trust me, it's intense. And I know it because I've taken the exam and it was a beast. And I'm actually, I don't know if you know this, Mark, I don't know if we covered this before, but I am actually an instructor for folks that want to take the exam as well as those seven courses.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I know that I know how much work and time and money goes into that thing. So yeah, it is a designation that I think is the gold standard. In fact, there are experts in our industry that says, you know, that should be the new norm. That should be the bar. You should have to have a CFP designation to actually dispense advice.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think last count, there's only 10% of the advisors out there that have their certified financial planner designation.
So, yeah. And there is a real, I mean, there's an alphabet soup out there. There is a ton of other designations. And to your point, some can just be purchased, I believe. Some you have to study. there's a lot of different things. And we've talked before, but anybody can kind of, you know, say, well, I'm a financial advisor. And there's a difference, too, between something like what you are as a CFP and maybe someone who's an insurance-only person, right? Which that's another wrinkle of confusion in. Maybe they have no designations there, but it's just because they're just an insurance broker type of thing.
Yeah, and there's the Chartered Life Underwriter, the CLU, but it's I don't know. With the insurance-only folks, there's not a lot of them that have their CFP designation or their CHFC. There's another designation that I give good respect to, and that's the Chartered Financial Analyst, the CFA.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not really client-facing. They're really building portfolios. They're putting together mutual funds.
Okay,
So, again, they're kind of in the back room. In the lab, if you will, they're putting together portfolios. I don't see many CFAs that, again, are client facing or have these interactions with in the trenches. There are some,
yeah, sure,
But their specialty is just that investment portion of it. They're not real experts in estate planning, or that's not what they cover is estate planning or insurance or anything like that. They're laser.
They're on the investment side.
Yep.
Okay.
And then we also know the CPA, right? They're laser focused on the tax side. But really, the CPAs are doing tax compliance, or they're doing returns, and they're great at their jobs. A lot of them are great at their jobs, but I don't see really any of them doing true tax planning, meaning that...
And that's really not their job, right, John? To your point, right? I mean, a CPA typically looks at things in the rearview mirror because it's a review of the prior year, not what's going to happen in 5 or 10. That's just not what they're trained for.
Right. And try to get... I mean, we're in the middle of April right now. Try to get a CPA on the phone.
Yeah.
It ain't happening. They are busy churning out these returns because they have to, right? We have a deadline. And they're just trying to put the right numbers in the right boxes and have folks pay the least amount of taxes that they legally owe this year.
This year. For last year,
right? 2022.
Right.
So they're not having the conversations like, look, in 10 years from now, if you're going down this path with your IRAs and you have to take required minimum distributions, that's going to push you into a tax rate where it's going to trigger the Medicare penalties, or it's going to trigger more taxes on your Social Security, or more taxes for your long-term capital gains rates.
Exactly. Yep.
They're not looking 10, 15, 20 years ahead, right?
Yeah, because that's tax planning, to your point. What they're doing is tax prep. They're doing tax preparation from the prior year.
Correct. Yep. Correct. So then we also see like MBAs, right? And an MBA might be helpful. Just make sure they didn't concentrate in like hospital management or marketing, because that really wouldn't apply to a financial advisor. So when someone's got an MBA degree, it's kind of like, could be real good. It could be not that relevant. So that's one other degree that I would say may or may not apply. The PhD, definitely. And also going back to the degrees, the JD designation, right? The attorney, they have to go to they have to go to a law school. They've got to pass the bar, another very, very tough exam. Smart people, again, they're experts at the law.
Right.
They're not, I don't know how much expertise they would have in the financial.
Well, and people probably, they may be confused a little bit thinking, well, don't I need, you know, a financial legal person for something like an estate plan, right? Or an elder law attorney, that kind of thing. And again, specifics, there's different kinds of attorneys out there, obviously, that focus in different areas.
Of course. And they should be part of your comprehensive financial team, and you would need to have an attorney draft trusts and wills and documents of that nature.
Right.
But again, I don't see a lot of them having these conversations about intentionally defective grantor trusts and
the financial aspect of it. They're gonna loop in a little bit, but they're not gonna go walking down that avenue. They're gonna be like, well, you need to talk with your financial professional on that. So
exactly. Yep. Exactly.
And
great,
CFP,
great at what they do.
Yeah. So you got a CFP like yourself, and you got a CPA handling taxes because you're looking forward, you know, on tax planning. CFP or the CPA is taking care of the past year stuff, and then your elder law attorney, say that three times, elder law attorney is is helping you with some of those. Yeah, so it's a financial team, right? I mean, it's
of course
a couple different kinds of coaches, just like you'd have an offense, defense, and a head coach. So
sure, exactly.
Okay, anything else on the designations of the alphabet soup that we need to cover?
I think that is about it on the alphabet soup, and I think we had some mail coming in.
We did,
I think you have those.
Yeah, I got a couple email questions we wanted to jump into, but I wanted to make sure we hadn't missed anything. And again, it's important to really look, you know, you can vet a lot of, if you're thinking about shopping for a financial professional, you can go to places like BrokerCheck or FINRA.org, right? So you can look up a couple different things, find out some things on them, see what's the right fit for you. And then, of course, you can go in for a review and a consultation and all that stuff. But it is important to kind of, I think, find the right fit with the right designations for what it is that you're looking for to accomplish. And so if you do need some help, again, reach out to John at johnchoy.net. And while you're there, drop a line if you'd like, an email question. We take some of those from time to time here on the podcast, which is what we're going to do. We got a question from Toby. Toby sent one in and he said, John, I'm retiring in about 5 years and I'm currently maxing out the 401k. But not any other savings. So should I be putting some savings someplace else, even if that means pulling back some on the 401k?
There are some experts that say max out your 401k and, you know, ride off into the sunset. There's other financial experts that say invest only up to the match. amount and look at some other places. What other places? Well, I like investing in tax-free accounts, right? So maybe it's your Roth, maybe it's cash value life insurance, but really going to a tax-free option. You can also take a look at some companies that offer the Roth 401ks. That's a fantastic option for you.
Yeah, more and more companies are offering that now. So
I'm surprised that, I mean, I think they should make that mandatory, but
it's probably coming in the Secure Act 3.0.
Probably. So yeah, be on the lookout for that. But and then there's if you are maxing out your 401k, you can do those mega backdoor Roth conversions. And I don't want to, you know, muddy the waters here and get into that, but that is an option. You can Google it. You can take a look at it.
Yeah, we did a podcast on some of those. You can go check that out as well. But yeah, I mean, I think for this situation, yeah, to your point with Toby, some people, you know, depending on his situation, right, depending on that, we just talked about CPA and a tax bomb, you know, for that situation, it may be wise to look at an alternate way of putting something into something like a Roth, for example, and maybe doing match only. So it kind of depends on where he's at and just kind of a number of scenarios, but everybody's going to be a little different. But I think we could all agree, John, that taxes are going up. Well, we know they are. Even if they do nothing, they're going to go up in 2026. So it may be worth looking at it based on Toby's age.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Good point.
All right. So thanks, Toby, so much for checking out the podcast. We certainly appreciate it. Let's do one more. We'll wrap it up this week, and then we'll be back in a couple of weeks with another episode. But we got one from Doug. Doug said, John, somebody told me I should start doing more Roth conversions, speaking of, with money that's in my IRA, but I've always been told I make too much to do a Roth, so I'm confused. John, sounds like he's confusing contributions with conversions.
That's exactly right. And so contributions are going to be limited by your AGI. Okay. So depending on whether you're single or whether you're filing, you know, married filing jointly, there are income limits to actually doing a Roth contribution. And those contributions are limited, right? They're only limited to $6,000 a year. If you're over 50, you can put in an extra $1,000 this year. But the conversions, you can really stuff a Roth IRA with conversions, and you can convert some or all of your traditional IRA into a Roth IRA. So you can really, really put a lot of money away. The drawback is that you will have to pay taxes on that money that you convert. And there's different rules for tax-free withdrawals on those conversions. Again, don't want to muddy the waters. I think we did a podcast on that previously.
Yeah.
But again, I think the confusion is coming from conversions versus contributions. And, you know, interestingly enough, if you can do conversions, I would highly, highly recommend it for two reasons. Number one is back in the day, you were limited by your AGI. Again, I think anyone that made over $100,000, you couldn't do a Roth conversion.
Yeah, they changed that rule. That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, they changed that rule. But, you know, late last year in 2022, they try to kill the Roth conversions again in the Build Back Better bill.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Thank God it didn't
go
through.
They snuck that one in there too, huh?
Yeah, they did. And that didn't go through. So it is on the radar of the lawmakers. So if you can do conversions, I would really get on a conversion schedule. Yeah, and don't do it in a willy-nilly way.
Yeah,
either.
For sure. Yeah, because it's going to change
your schedule.
It's going to change your tax bracket, right? So you don't want to bump yourself up either. So you want to be efficient with it, not crazy.
Use software to do it. Yeah.
You know, that's interesting that it makes sense that they would have killed it. And it seems silly that it is on the radar, because with the RMD age getting pushed further back, gives people more time to strategize, unless those accounts grow bigger. And if you do nothing, then yes, they get a bigger, you know, boom when you start collecting those 401ks or IRAs. But it also allows people more time to do planning and strategizing and do Roth conversions. And either way, they're getting the tax dollars. So you'd think they really wouldn't care as far as the government goes, right? Either way,
want the money now.
Right. So let the conversion happen. Then you get the money.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's why they didn't put a kibosh to the conversions, right?
Yeah,
Well, let them do conversions.
Yeah, let them do conversions. Give me the tax money now. Yeah, somebody's sitting there going, yeah, but if you wait 20 years or 30 years, it's going to be a higher nut, and then it's going to cause, you know, they're going to have to pay a higher tax fee because we'll find out about the entire tax bracket at that time. So, yeah, somebody's always looking greedy, but somebody else was like, eh, get the money now. Get it while you can get it. So. Right. Lots of ways of looking at that. But great question. Thanks so much. Definitely sounds like you're confusing the contributions and the conversions. Yeah, if you make too much, right, you cannot just contribute to one, but you can convert money from your traditional IRA. So right. Reach out to John, have a conversation, or reach out to your financial professional if you're not working with one. But if you need some help, John is here, so give him a jingle. 847-247-0850, 847-247-0850, or just stop by the website, johnchoy.net. A lot of good tools, tips, and resources there at johnchoy.net. All right, my friend, thanks for hanging out and breaking this down a little bit. I appreciate you, and we'll see you next time.
It's always a pleasure.
We'll catch you later on Middle Class Millionaire with John Choi. Again, you can find him online at johnchoy.net. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, Middle Class Millionaire, on whatever podcasting app you prefer.
Epiphany Capital is a registered investment advisor, RIA, located in the state of Illinois. Epiphany Capital provides investment advisory and related services for clients nationally. Epiphany Capital will maintain all applicable registration and licenses as required by various states in which Epiphany Capital conducts business, as applicable. Epiphany Capital renders individualized responses to persons in a particular state only after complying with all regulatory requirements or pursuant to an applicable state exemption or exclusion.